Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word. We're going to complete the book of Daniel today. The very 12th chapter. That's the end. And how precious it is. It's an interesting chapter. Some people make it very complicated. But just let it flow. And the final chapter, and it kind of caps off. It's the frosting on the cake of prophecy concerning the end times. Now, Daniel, what does it translate? My God is judge, and He is. That's why you never want to judge anyone. Let God be that judge, and you teach His word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Never, never, never apologize for the word of God. Having said that, let's get right into it. Chapter 12, the great book of Daniel, verse 1, and it reads, with that word of wisdom from our Father. And at that time, that's the end, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. You want to know who the prince of Israel is, God's people? It's Michael. And there shall be a time of trouble. You know what time of trouble that is. We've studied it many times. Jacob's trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is why it is ever so important that you, on repentance and loving the true Christ, must see that the book of life whereby your name is clear, that you've repented for not some of your sin, but all of them, so that you have a clear page there, because those that are in the book are going to take part in the first resurrection. God is going to protect them, just as He used the example in this book of Daniel of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were protected in that fiery furnace. When this trouble that is worse than anything you've ever seen on this earth, you're going to be just fine. God's going to take care of you just like He did those Hebrew children. That's why chapter 3 was placed in here, so that you know you can trust our Father. He's not angry at you. So naturally, His tribulation does not come against you, but for you. Just as Daniel was in the lion's den, God took care of him. So always remember that. He did that to encourage you to trust Him, love Him, know Him, that He is able to take care of His own. And why you can, when you read the 21st chapter of Luke, and it states that when you're delivered up before the false Messiah, they can't harm a hair on your head. Why? Because God takes care of His own. If you're in the book, if you're one of His elect, that's what makes it so very, very precious. You know, let's go to this day of trouble just a moment. You're not going to have it. I'm going to read it to you. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Listen to it. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. You don't have to worry. Okay. That is, if you trust the Lord, and if you know He's able, verse 8 of that same chapter, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break His yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bounds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of Him. There is a time that being a Christian and following the true Christ, all the shackles that the world tries to place upon you, controlling prayer days and so forth, boy, are they going to, you know, we're in a basket. Hell in a basket. Boom, just like that. They're going to get theirs, and they're going to get it all at one time. It's a bad day for them. It's a beautiful day for us. Verse 9, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. That is to say, Messiah. And He shall come at that seventh trump. 10, therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob. Even though it's Jacob's troubles, don't be afraid, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of thy captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. You don't have to be when you're a servant of the living God. You and God make a majority. Don't ever let them see you sweat in these end times. And know and understand that God is with you. And don't be afraid of God not knowing what's going on. He certainly does. And he pays very close attention. Jacob's trouble is a terrible trouble for our enemies. But it's a beautiful time for us. It's a great shaking, but we're not the ones that get shook. You know why? Because as it is written in the 12th chapter of the great book of Hebrews, you're standing on the rock, which is to say Christ, that cannot be shaken. Heaven will be shaken and the earth will be shaken. But when you're standing on that true rock, nothing will shake you. It'll survive anything. Why? Because God loves you. And God always takes care of his own. Now, continuing on back to chapter 12, the great book of Daniel, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, this is probably one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. It truly is. Because we know from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the instant you die, the instant that silver cord parts, you die, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning you and your spiritual body, instantly return to the Father. Now, then what is this that sleep in the dust? It's a statement of degradation. In other words, they are spiritually deader than a hammer. And you know, you shouldn't have any trouble today understanding that, because how many people do you know that you can sit down with and have a real intelligent discussion on the Word of God, the coming of the false Messiah, and what it is we're supposed to do? How many people do you know that you can have that conversation with intelligently? Because they won't, otherwise they will never understand what you're saying. Why? They're spiritually deader than a hammer. It is true that they will be changed into a spiritual body at the seventh trump, but they will still have a mortal soul. And a mortal soul is liable to die. That's what the word mortal means. Well, what do you mean, brother? I mean, if they don't change their way through the millennium, they're going to hell. And most, in as much as most of the world whores after the false Christ, there's going to be quite a bunch of them that had better change their ways. This is why you want to know, as it is written in Revelation chapter 20. We covered it. Remember chapter 20, verse 5, where it said, the rest of the dead must remain dead until the end of the 1,000 years, and we as priests shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. Well, what does a priest do? You teach. Well, who are you going to teach? Well, naturally, you're going to teach those that need to be taught. And hopefully, they'll see the truth. The dead there, the word dead, you need to know in the Greek the difference between nekros and nekros. Because it's not a corpse dead. They're spiritually dead, deader than a hammer. So here we have this statement. Well, what about this shame? Well, if you'd sit on a church pew all your life, being spoon-fed by the brethren, and you finally were never warned about the false Messiah coming first, and all of a sudden here he appears saying, I've come to rapture all of you out of here, and you run to him thinking it is Christ, and then you find out, I mean, being a good Christian person, supposedly, worshiping Jesus, you think, but you end up worshiping Satan, what kind of shame is that going to be? That it is hard to even imagine the shame of a Christian to realize all of a sudden they're worshiping Satan, and here comes the true Christ, and what are you going to say to him? I didn't know. No, you should have known. He wrote you a letter. He explained it all in detail. of exactly what would consummate the end of this age. Over and over, just like in this book of Daniel, this shall happen at the end, the latter days, the latter time. You either believe the word of God or you don't. So therefore, you're without excuse, and that shame will abound. And if you ever want to be thankful for one thing, that shame and everlasting contempt is something you don't want any part of. So rightly divide God's word, study to show yourself approved, and read these instructions God sent along telling us how to work these flesh bodies, whereby we attain salvation and our name is in that book of life in good standing. Verse 3 to continue. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In other words, God's elect will always try. They will always set that example. They will also, when someone needs a seed planted of truth to change lives, they'll plant it. Verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. You know, that's a nice sounding verse, but it's incorrect, okay? You with companion Bibles, you will understand that a resh was confused with a delete, and it made the word wickedness turn out to be knowledge. But to and fro, as it is given, means running to and fro, bringing about the great apostasy, the deception. So I'm going to read it the way the ancient Septuagint and many of the ancient writings have it, and especially with the Masora correcting the resh from the delete, then this is as it should read. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and wickedness shall be increased. And it will be. It's going to grow worse and worse, because Satan will be here, and he will be deceiving many. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two. The one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. Now, where are they standing? Where's Daniel? Well, he's at the Tigris River. And one is standing in Iran, and the other is standing in Iraq, which was Babylon of old, and Iran being Persia of old. Right in that geographical location, that's where this is taking place. You want to keep your eyes open and you want to observe current events and be able to understand the connection between prophecy to better understand just how things go down. And what are these two delivering? Verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? What is this question? How long will it be till the end of the world? Probably one of the most asked questions ever asked is people wondering, when is the end going to be? When will this transpire? Okay. So that's what they're asking him. And so it is. This has reference all the way back to the 10th chapter and the 14th verse. By Hiddekel, which is Tigris, okay? Verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand, when he held up his right hand, and his left hand unto heaven, swearing to Almighty God, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half. And when he, who is this he? The Antichrist, the little horn, Lucifer, the dragon, but the role of false prophet and Antichrist, when he, that false prophet, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And so it is. You will You will all remember back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We just covered it recently, where we're together. Paul was a little concerned about the first letter to the Thessalonians, but that any moment we're going to all be changed. They took it wrong. And he wrote in that second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "This is how we're going to gather back to Jesus Christ. It will be no other way. Don't let any man deceive you. It will not come to pass until after he, this same he, the son of perdition, stand in the holy place claiming to be God and showing the world that he is God. And all the people that want to believe that lie, God will send them strong delusion and let them believe the lie. It's a testing time. Make sure you don't get caught in that trap and bring as many out of the fire as you can, the fire of deception. That is the work of God's children. 3.5 years, that's what he's talking about here. We know that that's half of the 70th week that we learned of in the 9th chapter and the 27th verse. But even this has been shortened, and we know that also. We know exactly what it's been shortened to. Well, how do we know that? Well, Revelation chapter 9. And Christ would say in Mark 13, "For the elect's sake I have shortened the time when the Antichrist is here, or no flesh would be saved." And he shortened it to a 5-month period, as it is written in Revelation chapter 9 and following verse 4 concerning, "Don't touch mine anointed," and he can't. That means you, Satan, when he's here as the false Christ, cannot touch you. You even have power over him. Don't ever be afraid to utilize that power in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Verse 8 to continue. "And I heard, but I understood not." It didn't make sense. "Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" In other words, Daniel himself, in all his wisdom, could not understand that. Even after the 9th chapter, where we went into much detail about the false prince, the true prince, the cutting off of Messiah, and the length of time that the desolator would come in the middle of the week. That's why the 3.5 from dividing 7 in half. All explained to him, but here he's a little foggy on it. He doesn't quite understand what that has to do with that actual end coming. Let's go with the next verse, verse 9. "And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." Now, what does that mean? Well, it means at the time of the end, whenever that is, the word's going to be opened, and the wise are going to understand. And that is why it is paramount that one takes the time. No one will ever know the instant. No one will ever know the day. But the wise will understand the season. That is to say, the season of the fig tree. That's why Christ would say in Mark 13, "I don't want maybe you to learn the parable of the fig tree. Learn it," is what he said. And you better have learned it. If you have trouble with it, then you need a little help. Get my work on it. The fig tree and that parable, where did it start? Well, what did Adam and Eve cover themselves with when they had sinned in the garden with Satan? Fig leaves. Understand the parable of the fig tree. Know what happened in the garden. Be not ignorant concerning God's letter to you, especially in these end times, to know and to understand and to make clear the season. Verse 10, continuing. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried." We're going to keep teaching right up to the last minute. "But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." There you have it. Those that are wise in the Word of God and have that clear understanding, You can understand and the Word of God. You can understand and ascertain as to what part of it even pertains to you. And that in itself is a beautiful thing, to know and to understand. You are told many times throughout the Word of God exactly how it's going down. You are told in Mark 13 that just before the end, the false Messiah will appear. He didn't say maybe the false Christ will come. He said the false Christ will come first. Don't you believe him. If they say he's in the desert or wherever, don't believe it. Don't go there. Why? He's a fake. Over and over you are warned. Matthew 24, the same thing. He even says not only will Satan be there, but his false angels, the Nephilim, fallen angels, are cast out with him, and they're going to be giving and taking in marriage again, just like they were in the days of Noah. You see, warning after warning. And those that don't understand God's word are going to walk right into the trap. And as, again, in repeating myself at the risk of repetition, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, God said, if you want to believe the lie, I'll help you out. I'll send delusion upon you. I'll help Satan fool you. If you won't read the letter of love I've sent to you. And you can understand that. Father's jealous. He's a very jealous father. And that jealousy, if you have give the thing you want to do, is never give him reason to even be jealous of you. Let him know you love him. Dig into that word. Understand that word. Well, I just have a little trouble with it. Well, then pray for wisdom. That's what you have the Father for. If you have trouble understanding, talk to him. Tell him you want understanding. Pray for it, and he'll touch you. He will assist you. He always has. Now, I want you to understand what we're about to go into, and I don't want you to make it difficult. I'm not going to show any numerics or anything else. I'm going to just talk you through it. And I want you to listen carefully. Don't make it difficult. It's simply a very simple mathematical problem to get you to the season, not the day. So with that, let's go with verse 11. Verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Well, now wait. When was that? You know when it was, when Christ was crucified. No more animal sacrifice. It's sacrilegious to sacrifice an animal after Christ shed his blood for us. Hebrews chapter 10, making that absolute. So what we're saying here, when did that happen? A.D. 33. Some people will say 29, some will say 30, some 31. I say 33. And for the sake of this problem, so it is. 33 A.D. From 33 A.D., the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, in Daniel's days, well, when was the order then that the, according to the fig tree, if you've learned that parable, it is set up to receive the Messiah. It happened in 1948 when Israel became a nation again. If you've ever read Jeremiah chapter 24, that's what concludes and brings the parable of the fig tree to a conclusion when you see that. So, from the year 33 A.D. to the year of our Lord, 1948, there is the equivalent of 1,290 of Daniel's days. Well, what do we do with that? Well, you find you a common denominator to be able to transfer Daniel's days to our years. It's all laid out for you in a very simple way. Well, how do I do it? All you have to do is to divide 1290 into 1915, because you have to take 33 years, the date of A.D. of Christ's birth, away from 1948, and it means there are 1915 of our years from the taking away of the daily sacrifice to the order going forth to rebuild Jerusalem. Set up. The setup is very important because that's when the order went forth. So it's 1915 years. So you simply divide 12 and 90 into 1915, and you find a common denominator of 1.48. In other words, there are 1.48 of our days, years rather, of our years in one day of Daniel. I will say that one more time. Christ was crucified in the year 33 A.D. The order to set up went forth in 1948. It was June, to be exact, if you want to be, but that's still not going to get you the exact date. Okay. And there it was in 1948. So you subtract those 33 years from 1948 to come up with the equivalent of 1915 of our years to 1290 of Daniel's days. Therefore, dividing 1290 into 1915 years of ours, we come up with a common denominator of 1.48. Now, let's go with the next verse. Verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. That's 1,335 days. Why blessed to come to them, to make it through, to see you're not deceived by that time. Now, well, how would we do? What would we do with that? Well, you would take the common denominator, 1.48, and multiply it times 1,335 to see what the date came out. It's 1982. On Pentecost Day of that year, Mount St. Helens erupted, and an awesome thing took place. As God would say, in the end time, smoke and fire will come up from the earth. And the time of Elijah would come at that time, the turning of the children's hearts back to the true father or the fake father. One or the other, people go. It's according to what they hear and what they know. So there is nothing difficult about that. Now, a lot of people would say, well, the order actually went forth, but the main order went forth in 1967 in the Six-Day War. Well, if it tickles your fancy, you're still in the same season. But if I remember right, you would come out somewhere around 2012 with that equation. But you're still in the season. That's what's important, is to know we're at that door. For Christ said in Mark 13, when you see that parable of the fig tree, when you see the shoot set out, then all prophecy would come to pass before that generation would pass away. So you're in that time. That is not a difficult problem in mathematics to understand the season. God is good to us, and He gives us that. It is not for one to make a religion out of. It is not for one to go bonkers over. But to be, you are a watchman, and when that season of watching comes forth, you are exactly supposed to do that watch. Final verse to complete the chapter, verse 13. But go thy way now until the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. And certainly Daniel would. Daniel was chosen by God, used by God, and even in Ezekiel chapter 28, when he was dressing down Satan himself as the king of Tyrus, he said, you're wiser than Daniel. That's how wise Daniel was. But again, don't ever forget who gave him that wisdom. It was our Father. It is our Father that gives you wisdom when you need it. And when you have difficulty understanding something, ask Him for clarity. Ask Him for understanding. That's why He gives you the Scripture. That's why He gives you the equation. So that God's Word is simplified for you. And that might seem difficult. True wisdom is to simplify it where anyone can understand it and deal with it. That pulls many souls out of the very fire itself and brings them into the grace of Almighty God, whereby they fit the very final line of the first verse of this chapter, chapter 12, verse 1. Deliver every one that shall be found written in the book of life. Is your name there? If you understand Daniel and love our Father and serve Him, I assure you, your name is there. And every time you repent, anything that is negative there is erased from it. Therefore, you are in good standing, and that is God's promise that you will understand and that you will find that salvation, that you will have eternal life. Book of Daniel, I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed bringing it to you. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Ezekiel. What a fantastic study, this book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel that covers, if you would, those vehicles, those circular discs. In the Hebrew, it states very clearly that that whirlwind with the color amber traced back to the Hebrew, highly polished bronze. What an exciting thing that God's Word informs us on all things. Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets of the Bible, probably more written, not probably, but absolutely more written on what will happen in the millennium age than even the book of Revelation. Ezekiel guiding you through it, what God will expect at the final battle, Armageddon and Hamagog, recorded in this great prophecy. I know you're going to enjoy it, the book of Ezekiel.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Once you do that, please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We do not judge people. Our Father is the judge. You have the right to discern who you should fellowship with, who you should study with, but never judge. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. Don't ever, ever let anyone tell you you cannot pray, or if we want to make a day of prayer every day of the year, we're not going to let some fruitcake tell us we can't have a day of prayer, because that's our freedom and our right, and we will keep it. So if the fruitcakes want to fume, then hey, fume on. It's all right with us. We don't go with PC, politically correct. We go with what's morally correct, and it's morally correct for anyone to pray if they so choose. This is a free nation. We're going to keep it that way. So, with that having been said, let's go to His throne. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. Judith, don't know where Judith is from. If a woman divorces her husband, is she found bound by 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, under the law? Can she remarry? There are reasons for divorce other than as is listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That would be according to what the situation is. This is why scripture lawyers can get in a lot of trouble. You have to know both sides of the situation before you could ever make a decision or a discernment on it. Only a fool will hear one side and make a decision. So therefore, but the main decision, this. When you repent totally of all your sins, even if you had a part in the divorce, and Christ forgives you, it's erased. It doesn't exist. It's like it never happened. When you can't con Him, But when you truly repent, that's it. And so you go in peace and you sin no more. A lot of people will say, well, how do you know Christ would do that? Well, he gave us an example. The woman that was at Jacob's well, and he said, go tell your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, yeah, well, I know you don't. You've had five of them, and you're living with an old boy now you're not married to. And yet Christ used that woman when she kind of repented to deliver a whole town. So, and be that as it may. Bruce from Georgia, how do I find the right priest or elder to bless a vial of olive oil for anointing? Well, it's real simple. Don't you know what happened when Christ died on the cross of the flesh? 3 p.m., Holy of Holies. That veil was rent from top to bottom. And he said, come on in. And forever after the order of Melchizedek, you have a high priest who is the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is hold the vial forth and ask that priest, Christ, to bless it as the anointing oil of our people, and it is done. He is your priest. You don't need some man. Doug from Louisiana. I know that offends some people, but it's true. And so be it. Doug from Louisiana. I'm really learning a lot from your teaching. I was told when you pray, don't say it out loud because Satan will hear it. Does Satan know our thoughts? Please let me know and thank you. Satan does not know your thoughts. God does. God in the Greek is a kardionoar. He knows your heart, mind. Satan doesn't. And it is true. If you're planning something that is highly technical and that can be hurt in some way if you're a good, strong Christian, then it's best to keep it pretty quiet until you get the hammer down on it. Okay? But, I want you to not to be afraid of Satan. You see, no Christian should ever be afraid of Satan. Why? Well, Christ gave us power over him. He should run from you. You shouldn't have to worry about that. I mean, when you order him out in the name of Jesus Christ, he can do nothing but flee. So you don't have to be afraid of him, so don't go in fear. Okay. But at the same time, use wisdom, common sense. Marie from Washington. Thank you very much for teaching me more about God. I love watching your program. I have a question. I was wondering, well, I am in middle school, and kids don't say very nice things about God and our Jesus. Should I stand up and disagree or just let them say it? Thank you very much, Marie from Washington. Well, God bless you, Marie. I know that when you're in middle school, I would be very careful about what I would say to them. They are evidently are not learned. You are. And you love God's Word. So unless a friend should approach you and ask advice, I would be very careful. There is a place in Matthew where God says, if you pass an adversary in the byway, don't disagree with. Just go on. Don't say anything. But at the same time, if someone does ask you your opinion, then you're free to give it. But the main thing, I like to keep things in order. Why do you go to middle school? You go to middle school to get an education, so that you can be a more effective Christian in adulthood and taking care of your children and family with a better education. So therefore, number one obligation is to get that education, not correct a bunch of people that don't know any better and probably won't be well educated anyway. So you focus on what is important. You're doing fantastic. I love you and I'm proud of you. Patricia from Florida, my question for you is, so much of what is reported on the news is so negative and misleading according to common sense. Is common sense a gift of God? Do we come to common sense when we study the Word? Absolutely. The Word is common sense. Are we born with common sense? God's elect are born with common sense. That's why that you cannot deceive them. And they are too sharp for the Sharpies. And it is amazing to me how many people refuse to go with common sense, which is usually first impression, but they will let somebody snow them. So you are right. It is a gift of God, but it is also natural. It is a natural thing that you know what fact and you know what fiction is. And don't ever confuse the two or let anyone foster upon you any idea that does confuse the two. Stick to the facts. Margaret from Texas, my question. Years ago, I heard tell of a red heifer and that the birth of one appears in prophecy. I have read bits and pieces about the heifer, but would like to hear from you on this subject. Is it important to God's elect? Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. Starting back about, verse 12. It is the blood of Christ that brings about forgiveness, not the ashes of a heifer, the red one, or not any burnt animals of any kind, but the blood of Jesus Christ. So you can just skip over all the prophecies about the red heifer. Okay, stick with the blood of Christ, and you'll be fine. Hebrews 9:13. Start reading about 12. Make it 11. Deborah from Texas. Thank you so much for your teaching. I heard a pastor say that the reason Satan is released during the millennium for a short period is because babies will be born during this time and will grow up without knowing temptation, and they must be tested as well. I thought we would be in our spiritual bodies during this time and no births would happen. Also, this pastor said there is a burning hell forever where people suffer eternal fire, but God will not allow us to know this torture. I want to believe what you have taught me, that these people just die blotted out. Thank you. We love your program. God is what? What kind of fire is our Father? He is a consuming fire. When something is consumed, where did it go? That would answer that pastor's question on that part. And Deborah, you don't even need my help on that. You're right on top of it. We are in spiritual bodies. And there's no giving or taking in marriage when people are in spiritual bodies. They're not supposed to be. The fallen angels had a little different plan. But at the seventh trump, that all ends. So there will be no children born in the millennium. And as soon as every soul passes through this earth age, and we must be getting very close, that's it. That's the end. Okay, who do we have here? Charlie from Michigan. I truly hope you don't go off my channel. Well, we're going to try not to. Where is your question, Charlie? I've been having a hard time with my family. I've been rejected by all. I'm sorry, that's not Charlie, that's Charlene. I have been rejected by all as a grandma and mom. I give my opinion too much, evidently. And all my grandkids and daughter won't come around anymore. As a grandma, I feel I have a right to put my opinion in. Well, but wisdom prevails, grandma. You know, you want to make better cookies as you can. And you want to be sweet to the little darlings. And that way they will begin paying attention and you don't preach at them. Okay. And you set the very example you set of doing what's right makes them want to be the same. So rethink it and ask God for guidance and you'll do just fine. Sometimes people can't take too much advice. Okay, so think about it, and if you want them to be around, and I'm sure you do, bake up a batch of good cookies and let them know. Harvey from Oregon, bless you for your teaching. I thank God for bringing you in. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 20. They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. What does it mean and why? I methinks you've got the wrong chapter. I'm thinking that is not what chapter 20, verse 20 says. But chapter 19, verse 20 would say that. And froward means you have a prideful heart. God can't deal with that where you put yourself above Him. That was what caused Satan's downfall. Okay, I'm not correcting. I'm just saying probably you looked at the wrong chapter, but it's 19. Okay, but that's what it means. Prideful. Harley from Tennessee. I know the elect that is here when the evil one returns. Will it be okay to tell your loved ones that he is the Antichrist? They will see then that what you have been telling them has come true. When you're delivered up and the Holy Spirit speaks through you, it's all right to tell family, but that's when they will know of a fact that what you were saying was true. For the Holy Spirit will speak through you, and it will convince even the gainsayers, as it is written in Luke chapter 21. Gary from California. My question, what would happen if Satan had not tried to be God? God was very pleased with Satan's production up to the point until he wanted to be God. So you would have to judge using common sense by what happened to him before he became prideful, or I'll fall back on that 19th proverb, forward. God created him the full pattern because he earned it. He was a hard worker. And he worked himself up to where he was in the position of one of the cherubims that covereth. And if you've ever seen a similitude of the Ark of the Covenant, there's two cherubims there. He was one of them. He earned that spot. He was good. And God rewarded him over and over. He's made him the full pattern. He gave him all the precious stones, elevated him to that place. And then when he became prideful and wanted to sit on that mercy seat instead of guard it, then down he went. And as God would say in Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19, you're going to be turned to ashes from within. Fini. Consumed when God's through with him. Alicia from California, what does it mean when you wish someone Godspeed? Thank you. I think probably you are coming, I'm going to guess that you are pulling from the second epistle of John, where the second epistle of John says, if anyone brings any other doctrine other than what Christ has taught, such as the rapture doctrine or anything else, brings you something that God has not taught, if you support them, but if you as much as wish them Godspeed, that means God's blessings, you become a partaker of their evil deeds. So it is to ask God's blessings on an evil work. He does not like that. And that's what it means. Angie from Texas, when the true believers are denying Antichrist, where are the people who believe they will be raptured out? Where will they be? Where are they going? Are they placed in groups? Oh, they're in groups. It's a great revival. Worshiping Him. Worshiping the false Christ. Thinking He is Christ. Come to rapture them out. They're ready to board. Ready to go. Any moment doctrine. Any moment He's coming. Yeah, but they forget to say who it is that's coming. It's the false Christ, not the true one. False Christ comes at the sixth trump. You know, a child can count. The true Christ doesn't come until the seventh trump. So you don't want to get in a hurry to board like those people will be. The word rapture is not in the Word of God, and you don't. If you want to believe the lie, you go ahead. Christ would say when he was saying in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to tell you about our gathering back to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not going to happen until after Satan, the son of perdition, stands in the holy place claiming to be God. And if you want to believe him, I will send strong delusion and help you out to believe the lie. So that's what will happen to them. They are basically condemned. Susan from West Virginia, what seal are we in? And Trump, we're in the fifth seal. It's a seal of learning. You can find it in Revelation chapter 9. It is not that Christ is here. It tells you a teaching tool of how long he will be here and who he appears to. Carol from California, when we pass away and are in heaven, will we know who we are? Well, of course you will. We are made in the same image, exact image we were with Father from the beginning. But as it is written in Ezekiel chapter 44, you will even know your relatives and your friends. So naturally, if you know and recognize them, you certainly are going to know yourself. And so it is. Larry from Virginia, is there any other scripture in the Bible that also teaches what Ezekiel 18 and 19, chapter 18, verses 19 through 32 teaches? It is that one always pays for his own sins, and somebody else doesn't answer for your sins. And the scripture that would align with that that comes to my mind is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 29. That if a father bites the sour grape, the child doesn't set his teeth on edge, meaning he doesn't pay for the sin. Also, is there another scripture in the Bible that teaches what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 11 teaches? Proverbs 3, verses 11 through 12. Proverbs 3, 11 through 12. You need to learn to use cross references and you'll do good. Ruby from Kentucky, I have a question concerning the end time, when Satan will appear on earth before Christ. And the question is, when Satan comes, can he bring the eternity down to earth with him? I think only God can do that. Correct. He has nothing to do with time. And if I am right, and Satan being a spirit and unable to materialize his spirit body in this earth's atmosphere, now you've gone wrong. Okay. Because he's very much, his body is going to be cast out this time. Michael is casting him right out of heaven, and he will be brought into this dimension claiming to be Messiah. Okay, how is he going to be able to mislead people and the whole world if in the possession of a human body? Well, it won't be human. It's his. It's supernatural. He can perform miracles. You never want to take credit, too much credit away from Satan. Don't give him any credit. But no, he's sharp. And God has already warned us, he's getting cast out and he's coming here. And he's going to pretend to be Christ in person. Not just his spirit, his physical body. And it's been here before. You can read it in Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Where have you been, Satan? I've been walking to and froeth on the earth. Okay, to and fro, that is. Maggie from Florida. Maggie, where is your question? My faith is really being tested. My dog had to be put to sleep at the age of 8 because of cancer. I've had a really hard time since she's been gone because she was my support system. She was always there for me no matter what. I just moved to Florida where it's really difficult moving into high school and then losing my dog, since all of this has just been one bad thing after another. How could God do this? In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope." Well, darling, he has, okay? You know something? I wouldn't be surprised down at the animal shelter. Maybe one of the reasons that God took your other dog is he needed a good dog there. And down at that animal shelter, there's probably a pup that you just fall in love with that's just waiting for you to come look him eye to eye and love him and train him and take him in. And all for the better. Everything has a purpose, as you well know. And you be real careful in high school that you keep your mind on the good of the Lord and using common sense. And God's going to bless you. Let me know how you come out. All right. Hey, I'm out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you. He sure does. Make God's day, and when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. So let Him know you love Him, won't you? That's what He wants. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, when you bless God, He always blesses you. It is a wonderful thing to have the privilege to be able to serve Him. And when you do serve Him, it documents your place in that book of life. Most important, though, you listen to me, you stay in His Word every day, and His Word is a good day, even with trouble, because Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word